Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of the Northwest Missouri State Coaches Show. This week with us from Hy-Vee is the assistant head coach and defensive coordinator at Northwest Missouri State, and Rich Wright, who's filling in for head coach Adam Durrell, who has some duties down in Kansas City today with the game coming up at Arrowhead Stadium. But first of all, Rich, thanks a lot for being with us on the program.
Absolutely. I'm going to enjoy it.
And again, our program underwritten by Maryville's Hy-Vee at 1217 South Main in Maryville, providing groceries, a pharmacy, bakery, and kitchen. And our interview recorded each Monday at noon from Maryville's Hy-Vee and can be heard on KXCV, KRNW, beginning at 5:25 Monday afternoon and available online at kxcv.org. And, Rich, another good win for the Northwest football team on Saturday, this time Fort Hays State, a big family day crowd on hand. And, came out, and after offense stalled a little bit on their first series, everything seemed to roll for both offense and defense on Saturday.
It really did. There was a lot of emotion going into the game, with it being family day number one and having such an emphasis on Scott Bostwick Day. I thought that our kids were pretty charged up, and maybe a little bit too charged up at the very beginning. But once we got things going, it started to roll.
Just talk a little bit about the emotions in honoring Scott Bostwick. Again, as most people know by now, untimely passing this past June. What kind of emotions went through you as well as the team in honoring Scott on Saturday?
It's kind of got an ebb and flow to it a little bit. There are times where, you kind of put it aside and you're thinking about football and what you're doing, and then certain things will just trigger a response. Like this week for me, we put a shadow box up in our offices, and we had his final speech up in it, and there was one of his last play call list and his whistle, and seeing those things and having those reminders kind of brought me back a little bit again, and so I think our kids feel the same thing. So there are highs and lows with it, but it's not just one week for us. It's each and every week, and we think about him an awful lot.
I know one of the things that he wanted to do after taking over as head coach is have a special blackout day at the stadium where everyone wore black jerseys or T-shirts and things at the stadium in the crowd, but kind of took the team a little bit by surprise, too, by coming out in the black jersey.
The funny thing about that is that, being a small town in Maryville, Missouri, I think some people caught wind of it, and so it was trickling down to our players, and for a lot of them, like Josh Lawrence, and in particular for me, I said that's the only time in 5 years I've lied to you, because on Tuesday we had a meeting with the captains, and we sat them down and we said, guys, we're hearing there's rumors there are no black jerseys. And they kind of paused and looked at us, and they were like, well, geez, we thought we were going to get them for Sioux Falls, and no, so really we're not going to get them. So that kind of filtered in through the team for the rest of the week, and so the expectation was way down. So we had them warm up in their greens, and when they walked back into the locker room, they had the black jerseys in there, and it was amazing to watch. It was a little bit like watching your five-year-old at Christmas. I mean, there were squeaks and squeals and hoots and hollers, and everybody was pretty excited.
Didn't really have a lot of time to make the jersey switch either. With those tight jerseys, it was a little bit hard for some of the guys to get those off and on that quickly. Yeah.
It was a little bit of a struggle, but we managed to get it done.
I thought another nice tribute, too, was the decals on the helmets in red in honor of Scott and his famous red hat.
Yeah, it was, and I was kind of wondering how all that would look, but it looked really good together. And Scott meant so much to our football program, meant so much to me as a person. He was a very, very close friend of mine over the years. And, this was kind of like his last present to our football team. This was his idea. It was his brainchild. And so it was only fitting that it was his day.
And I think it was fitting, too, that it was part of the family weekend activities, because he has been such a family man.
Absolutely. I mean, from day one, his family being involved in Northwest Missouri State football, coming down to the games religiously, having his brother end up playing here at Northwest Missouri State, as well as two nephews. He has a niece that's a Bearcat stepper now. So you can see how family's intertwined with our football program.
And just talk about the things on the defensive side of the ball against a Fort Hays State team that came in, trying to be a little bit more of a balanced attack than what they've been in the past. And they've came in with a very good running game. But really, for the most part, let you stuff the run pretty well on Saturday.
That was a big point of emphasis. One of the things that we wanted to focus on, they had the number one and number three ranked backs in the MIAA going into the game, was, we wanted to line up and be physical and get after their backs. Our first goal this week was to not give up 100 yards in the rushing department to either one of those backs, and we were able to accomplish that goal. It really started just we were trying to heavy up their techniques up front. lock them out because we didn't feel like they were more physical than we were. And if we could get them locked out and not get pushed by things, that we would be fine. And that was the case.
Yeah, I really thought you got some great play out of your defensive linemen.
Yeah, our kids are starting to play pretty good up front. Josh Lawrenson has been a huge part of our defensive line for the last 2 years and has really raised his level of play as a senior. He's the guy that everybody's looking into. Matt Longacre, a redshirt freshman for us this year, has been forced into playing some tackle for us, and he's done a tremendous job. And then Matt Minert and Ricky Bailey have both been very solid as well.
Seems like Ricky has the ability to be around the ball and make some big plays for you.
He's very athletic. Both those kids are 4'6" type kids, and so they can run around and play in space pretty well. Both are explosive guys.
Now, another guy who seems to be around the ball quite a bit, Bryce Enyer's coming up with some pretty big interceptions for you.
Boy, he's a special young kid, isn't he? Redshirt freshman kid. Just has tremendous instincts. You know, still learning the game of football, still learning our defensive system, but boy, he's fun to watch because once he gets it all figured out, he's going to be something else.
Now, obviously going into this game, Northwest a heavily favored against Fort Hays State. During the week, as you prepare against an offense that looks like they're making some improvements as far as what the schemes that they're trying to do out there, what was the point of emphasis against a team like that, that you felt if you came in and played well that things would turn out okay for you?
I think that more than anything, the thing that we've really tried to focus on this year, and it's been to, you know, Coach Dorrell's been big point of emphasis for him is focusing on us getting better week in and week out, regardless of our opponent, regardless of who we're playing. Okay, let's go and establish some goals and get some things set and figure out, okay, what does the offense do well? What do we want to stop? How do we want to do it? And put it down on paper. And we've done that each and every week, and we've played at a fairly high level, so it's been fun to do.
As far as the defense, what are some of the areas that you feel that you got better at this past Saturday?
I think we're starting to play the run a little bit better. Early in the season, we were getting caught up the field. I think our linebackers are slowing down. We're very fast on defense, and that's usually a very good thing, but sometimes if you over-pursue stuff, it can get you hurt on the backside of stuff, so we're starting to rein our guys in. Get them to understand how to do their job a little bit better, and then play with speed.
Now, as you look over on the offensive side, you have to feel good about the fact that offense has given you some pretty good numbers up on the board. Of course, defense the last several games has been able to turn some of those into points as well, but you have to like the fact that the team's scoring some points.
Absolutely. They're scoring a lot of points, and please don't ask me much about our offense because I don't get to watch it very much. Every time I'm over on the defensive bench, I turn back around and we've scored. So we're headed right back out there again. But, you know, the thing that, you know, looking at it from a defensive coach's perspective, that would be very hard to prepare for coming into playing Northwest Missouri State, if I were going to scout us, is just that their ability to distribute to the ball to so many different options. You know, you can take certain things away as a defensive coordinator, but, you know, what we do a very good job of is if you're going to try and take Jake Soy away, we're going to find Kilgore. If you try and take Kilgore away, we're going to work our running game. If you want to try and emphasize on the running game, we're going to go deep to Shaw. So there's just so many different weapons that we have. And they're really clicking right now.
Yeah, it really seems like on the offensive side, last couple weeks, you're seeing Kyle Kilgore get in the mix a little bit more of that tight end position where he's been wide open on some plays just because of some of the things he did in the first couple of games with the wide receivers, and all of a sudden the tight ends are open.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing, you know. Defenses, when they watch you on film, and I'm no different than anybody else, I find go-to and key guys, and we're going to try and take those guys away from you and say, okay, you've got to beat us with somebody else. And the nice thing about our offense right now, they're finding other guys to beat you with, and they're executing. So.
And I would think, too, from a running game standpoint, when you got some guys that are so different in the backfield as Franklin and Simmons, and you're seeing some other guys work in there, and as Creason gets healthy, he'll be a part of that mix as well. But there are different type of guys you have to prepare for even in the backfield.
Certainly. I mean, Jordan is more of a slasher and a hit-it kind of guy, where Franklin's got the big cutback. They have a little bit different style of running, but they provide a change of pace. And when one gets tired, you throw the next one in. And so as a defensive coach, you're trying to wear one out, and they bring a fresh set of legs back in there to run it against you. And that's difficult to prepare for as well.
Now, at the quarterback position, you've had Trevor Adams start the last couple of games due to the injury to Bryce Christopher, and it appears that things are coming along pretty well for Bryce in that aspect. But it's good to get a couple games of experience with Adams out there, where as the season goes along, if you have to come back to to Trevor. He's had that experience and game tested on the field here.
You bet. I was really, really proud of Trevor. He threw a couple interceptions against Lincoln, but the weather conditions weren't very good. Tough to make your first start. He came out and threw some great balls on Saturday, did some good things, managed our offense very well, didn't turn the football over. Games where you can start in situations and environments like that are going to pay huge dividends for Northwest Missouri State down the road. And whether they do or not this year, you know, next year when Blake graduates, that's going to be huge for our football program.
And I think the key from what you talked about, manage the offense, getting the team to the line of scrimmage, and the little things that perhaps a lot of people don't think about, I thought he did a very good job on Saturday.
Absolutely, and our offense is fairly complicated. You know, there's a lot to do and a lot to be in charge of, and he executed it flawlessly on Saturday, so.
Now, you touched upon something with the fact that the offense was scoring so quickly Saturday. When, on a defensive standpoint, would you like to see maybe a few of those drives go a little bit longer there to give you guys a little bit of a rest?
Heck yes, I would. I'd like to stand there and drink a little Gatorade and hang out with my guys. If they're scoring points like that, great. You know, what we've got to do, we emphasize this a great deal, is we're focused on getting ourselves off the field. It's not the offense's job to keep us off the field. It's our job to get ourselves off. And the way we do that is by creating three and out situations where we give the ball to our offense on a short field. And those are the things that we talk about.
And I think, too, one thing that has to help with your defense, and it's been something that's been a trademark of Bearcat defense through the years, is you're not just your starters aren't necessarily ones that have to carry the whole load during a game. You're two or three deep at several positions where, again, when you go into the fourth quarter, you got guys that are out there who have been rested.
Absolutely, and that's something that Scott really emphasized in his time here, and I learned from him a long time ago, was that, you know, he really believed in playing a lot of people on defense, and that's always been the way we've done it here, and the way that we'll continue to do it.
Hey, I think it's important, too, to get the players to buy into that as well, that it's not going to be dependent upon them out there, that they're going to have to give up a little bit of the load for the greater picture of a conference championship and hopefully at Northwest a national championship.
Certainly. And, you know, the thing that we talk about is if you'll be a little bit more team-oriented, the accolades will come at the end of the season than they usually do for us. Our kids are about winning football games, winning conference championships, and having an opportunity to make a run at that national championship. And they understand at the level with which we expect kids to play defensively as far as flying around to the football is they need a break once in a while. And I can't just do that for them in the second half because their tank is gone. I've got to do that intermittently throughout the football game. And by allowing them to be fresh, they're going to have an opportunity in the end to make more plays than they would if I left them out there for the whole game.
Now, you're four games into this season, 4-0, where you want to be there, nationally ranked as the number one team in the nation. You go into another stretch of some pretty important games, but after the first four games against some teams that probably won't be the toughest teams you'll face on the schedule, again, what you see as some of the most important things that have come out of the first quarter of the season here?
I'd say first and foremost, I think we've done a good job taking care of the football, and we've had quite a few takeaways. And you know, if you look back statistically at good football teams, that's usually a hallmark of successful seasons. I think number two, we've had some injuries and had to overcome some stuff. We've had guys that have stepped in and fulfilled those roles, and that's just the expectation here at Northwest Missouri State. If somebody goes down, the next guy steps in, and we're going to get it going. In addition to that, I think we've done a really good job so far this year of preparing for the team that we're going to play that week. You know, and sometimes as a coach, one of the most difficult things to do is to get people motivated to play somebody that may be not quite as good as you are. And our kids have done a phenomenal job of not looking ahead in the schedule, focusing on the task at hand, and getting after it. Go to this week, we're not going to have any problems getting up for this football game.
Yeah, with Pittsburgh State coming up, we'll talk a little bit about that in just a moment. But just go back to a point you made about forcing the turnovers. And does it help the defense when you know that if you force a turnover like you have been in the last several games, that there's a pretty darn good chance that those turnovers are going to be turned into points for Northwest? It seems like the offense has done a great job of taking the turnovers that you guys have given them on defense and then turning those into points.
Sure. You know, one of the things that we talk about as a defense a lot, and also in our special team space, is not just turning the ball over for the offense, but giving the offense the ball on a short porch or a short field. The more we can do that, and we've taken the breakdowns through, and we can show our kids statistically, based on where our offense gets the ball, what our rate of success is. So that's something that we emphasize all week. And, you know, we can create turnovers like that for our offense, and they see the quick strikes and the quick scores, and they see those points come up in bunches, you know, then it just reaffirms everything we've been trying to teach and preach.
How would you assess special teams up to this point?
I think they've been solid. I mean, I've been really proud of our punter, Goodburn. I mean, holy cow, a freshman getting thrust into that situation. He's been excellent. For the most part, Todd's done a really good job on our as far as placement of our kickoffs as well as connecting on field goals. Kickoff a couple times, we've had some breakdowns, but shoot, when you're covering 11 kicks a game, I mean, that can happen a little bit. You know, that's the one thing. We've been scoring so many points, we've had to cover a lot of kickoffs. So I think they've been pretty solid to this point.
As far as the health of the team right now, you touched a little bit about having to battle some injuries. Let's just talk about the injuries right now as you go into week number 5 here.
Each and every year we've got challenges, and it depends on the position. You know, we've got a couple guys out with different things and just have different guys that have to fulfill into those roles.
And now looking ahead, we've got Pittsburgh State coming up down at Arrowhead Stadium. Always an important game just from the standpoint you're playing at Arrowhead Stadium. And what does it mean to still be able to go down and play at Arrowhead?
Oh, it's a special experience. I can't wait to, you know, I've got 9 new starters on defense, and I cannot wait to take the trip down there on Friday and let those kids walk into that stadium and experience that, you know, because we'll do a walkthrough on Friday. And I remember walking down into the tunnel with Scott my first year in 2004 and walking out into the stadium, and we just stood there and talked for a bit. And, you know, just what a neat experience it was for me as a football coach. Just to watch the kids' faces is phenomenal.
I know one thing AD talked about on the post game Saturday that you guys are going to try to work on this week is just try to prepare them for the noise level at Arrowhead Stadium. Now, there have been times at Bearcat Stadium that place can get pretty loud, but still nothing compared to when you walk into Arrowhead Stadium.
No, it's loud. I mean, you figure a great crowd at Northwest is around 10,000. I mean, you're going to double the crowd at least. It's bowled in, and the immediate start to the game is really loud, and it's easy to get caught up in that moment, you know. So there's a lot of nonverbal communication that we have to do as a defense and as an offense that we have to get executed during the week, and we will. We'll turn anybody in the neighborhood, I apologize. The Jumbotron will be on, and the radio will be going full blare all week long, so we have to work on our hand signals and stuff, so.
And now let's talk about Pittsburgh State. They're coming in undefeated as well, coming off an impressive win against William Jewell on Saturday night, a non-conference matchup there. Talk about the Grills. It really looks like their program is headed back in the right direction for them.
Yeah, you knew those guys weren't going to be down for long. There's just too much tradition, too much pride in that football program. They've got good coaches down there, and they get good football players. So, you know, we'd expect nothing less from Pitt. They're really running the football well again. The Dickey kid, their quarterback, is managing their offense very well. They've got 3 backs in the backfield that are all capable of hurting you, as well as a couple skill kids on the outside at the receiver position that if you commit too many people to their running game, they're going to hit you with over the top.
Yeah, it seems like they've got some wide receivers that might be a little bit underrated just because of the type of offense that they run there.
Yeah, that's, you know, sometimes that's the hard part with their style of offense is those kids don't get a lot of opportunities, but I've been watching film all morning, and I can tell you in space those guys can run around.
Seems like one of the areas that they've been kind of their own worst enemy, especially go back to their game with Truman State, the turnover situation, they kind of hurt themselves a little bit with turnovers there.
Yeah, they have put the ball on the ground quite a bit. I'm sure hoping they'll do that again for us on Saturday, but you know, that's kind of been their one Achilles heel a little bit, is that they've turned the ball over some. And obviously, as we talked about earlier, you know, in big games like this, you know, those things tend to come back to haunt you, and hopefully we can force a few turnovers on Saturday.
What are some of the things you try to do when you prepare against an offense such as Pittsburgh State that perhaps you don't see all that often during the season? Now, what type of things you try to do to prepare the team for this type of offense?
You know, first of all, we spend a lot of time and focus. You know, they're legendary for their crab blocking or cut blocking that they do. We'll spend a lot of time working on that this week. We'll spend a lot of time on just fundamental stuff. Taking care of your job, taking care of your gap. In a gap control defense like we play, you've got to execute your assignment, and if you don't, it's going to turn into a big play. And what they rely on is guys doing something else, and so you go to the quarterback and then all of a sudden the pitch is open, or you don't squeeze down on the dive and the quarterback keeps the ball and runs around the end of the line of scrimmage. So those are the things that they try and exploit. in a defense.
Now, obviously, your primary focus right now is getting your defense ready to go against Pittsburgh State's offense. Just from what you know about what the Gorillas will be doing defensively, what are some of the things that you think that Northwest needs to worry about this upcoming week?
I got to be really honest with you on this, John. Because we haven't followed Pittsburgh at all in the schedule, I have not watched their defense. I can just go based on what the offensive coaches have told me. And usually by the time we play Pitt, we've seen them on film. I haven't done that this year because schedule has just happened to work where we haven't seen them yet. I do know that they've converted over back to a four-man front, which is something different in the last couple of years. They've been based out of a 30 front. I know that they've been doing some good things with their front four. Their front four is physical, athletic, and runs around pretty good. I do know they have that linebacker back from a year ago who statistically made a lot of plays for them. And, our offensive coaches have said they've been flying around to the football. Short of that, I've been just worried about my side of the ball.
Sounds good. When you look at the way this game should play out, how important will it be, the first 5 minutes of this ball game for you?
Interesting. It's an interesting comment by you because that's one of the first things that we talked about in our meeting on Sunday is that it's easy to get lost in the moment at Arrowhead Stadium. It is so loud and there are so many people. And you're charged up, and it's just a different kind of experience. And so it's about surviving those first 5 or 6 minutes and making sure you're focused on your execution, rather than getting so charged up and caught up in the moment. I think it's almost better to sit back, relax, take a deep breath, and say, okay, here's my job, here's what I've got to do, and go ahead and try and execute in that way.
Well, it should be a fun weekend. It's almost to the point where it's almost a second homecoming for the teams involved when you get down there. So many people are in the Kansas City area. They're Northwest grads. You're going to have great fan support, and it really should be a fun weekend coming up for everybody.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. And it's so special for our fans. Gosh, my dad comes in from New York every year for this game, and I know a lot of coaches' families come in for it, and people all over the country come back to this Arrowhead Fall Classic because it's a Division II football game that's got a very big time Division I atmosphere, and it doesn't take long walking around out of the parking lots or to see some of the stuff that's going on to get a sense of that, and it's a special deal for both of our programs.
And by playing in an atmosphere such as this, does this help later on in the season as the Northwest has gotten into the playoffs where they've had an opportunity to play in an atmosphere that's been kind of pressure-packed?
I think it's been instrumental. When you can draw on a regular season game every year that's going to have more people and be louder than any game, any other venue you can play in, I just think that helps us. It helps to prepare us, and it's something that we have to do annually. It's not we haven't played in one of these games in a few years. It's every year, and so it's been very key and pivotal in us as we go into the playoffs and play quality competition in hostile venues.
And Rich, before I let you go, one final question here. Are we going to get our Cardinals into the playoffs?
I've got my fingers crossed. I got a little story that I think maybe some people like. Coach Churchman is a big Braves fan, and we've been texting back and forth the other day, the last few days on this whole Cardinals deal, and we started to close on them, and then we blew the game with the Mets. And I think it was it Saturday that they had gotten beat? This past Saturday afternoon, or was it Friday? I can't remember which.
What, the Cardinals game?
The Cardinals
got
beat.
I think that might have been a Thursday game there.
Or Thursday game?
Yeah.
Okay. Any case, I'm sitting – you're right, it was Thursday night because I was sitting at home watching the college game. That's why I had Saturday in my head. But they had gotten beat, and I get a text from Coach Churchman. And he said, I want to sign Jason Mott up for our new closer. And so I texted him back, and I said, thanks a lot. And he said, you know, somewhere down from heaven, Boswick's looking at you and laughing at you because Scott Boswick was a Cubs fan, and he just relished in the idea that the Cubs were able to beat the Cardinals for one. So it just kind of made me smile.
Well, we still got a shot. That's the important thing.
Absolutely.
All right.
One game out.
All right, Rich, thanks a lot for being with us.
All right, thank you.
Again, that is the assistant head coach at Northwest Missouri State and defensive coordinator Rich Wright filling in for head coach Adam Dorrell, who's in Kansas City today taking care of some media requirements with the Fall Classic at Arrowhead. My thanks to Rich Wright for being with us. Again, this interview recorded on Mondays at noon at Maryville's Hy-Vee. The interview can be heard on KXCV KRNW beginning at 5:25 Mondays afternoon. And also, it's on demand at kxcv.org. And my thanks to Coach Wright. I'm John Coffey, KXCV KRNW Sports.